Amen. I just now realized that if you want to leave those there, I did not even mention or give them an opportunity to bring forth tithes and offerings. I'll get in trouble with Pastor Sid if we don't leave them for. So we're going to leave those there. Again, that's just, thank you, brother. Worst tithes and offerings are, it's in the Word and it's a form of worship. So if you want to do that, they'll be there for the remainder of the service to come and present your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If Scott, would you grab those lights back there? I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to be brief because it tends to backfire on me. But I don't have a heavy agenda this morning. I just feel like I really, for the first time in a while, and that's an indictment on me. The word last Sunday morning, and I've had to miss a lot of services lately, and I'm not going to retell my testimony over the last couple of years. But you know, I've felt kind of discombobulated a little bit over the last several months. But last Sunday morning service. And if you haven't listened to that word from Pastor Sid, go online and listen to that podcast. It really challenged me, and I was sitting at work Monday just really meditating on it, and like I should do every Monday on the word that comes forward here, but you know, I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. And the Lord really just began kind of just speaking to my heart about where I was at. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, it's the same scripture at first anyway that Pastor Sid was in last week. And I just began to go back over in my heart some of the things that Pastor Sid brought forward last week. And just started making some notes and how it applied to my life. And Joshua 1, and for those of you that weren't here last week or haven't listened to the podcast, in a nutshell, the gist of what I got out of what Pastor Sid brought forward. It's the scripture in Joshua where God tells Joshua, hey, Moses, my servant's dead. You're going to be the new leader of the people. And basically he goes through some things. And I'll just read it, verse 1 of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And verse 3 was the gist of Pastor Sid's sermon. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses. And then it goes through the geographical part of what was going to be their land. And then it goes on and it says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, if we stop right there, you know, the Pentecostal or non-denominational part of us, we like that. That is a promise from God about something He is going to do. A promise that He has put out there, and this is just, you're going to be prosperous. I'm giving you this. Everything the sole of your foot touches, I'm giving to you. Amen? That's the kind of stuff that we like. We're not going to go there right now. We may go in a minute. But the next three verses is where the if you then I comes in. And basically, what does he tell him? Hey, I want you to meditate on this word that I brought through Moses. Day and night. Don't let it leave your mouth. Then you will make yourself prosperous. So a little bit of ownership gets shifted from this promise up here that God's going to do this to, yes, I'm going to do this. It's a promise. But this is what you need to do to be prosperous. And I know I've shared this before. I remember several years ago, and it was during a difficult season. I can't even remember what I was going through. Maybe it was when my dad first got diagnosed with cancer. But I remember standing over there in that side room, and Pastor Sid, I didn't feel defeated in that moment, but I definitely did not feel powerful. And Sid gave me a word, and he said, hey, I feel like the Lord wants me to share with you. You've been promoted in the spirit realm. Your prayers will carry more weight. You know, that's the end of verse 6 there. Amen. We like that. You know, that's, you know, Pentecostal, we'll run. We'll take a lap, Clay. Amen. Do you know that over the next 2 years, it was the hardest walk of my whole 20 years now being a Christian? Because guess what? I hit some radars that I might not have been on before. So it was cool to get that word, but there was a River Jordan that still needed to be crossed in my life. Absolutely. Hey, you've been promoted. Your prayers are going to carry more weight. So what would that mean from the enemy's perspective? I got to keep that dude from praying. But with a lack of discernment, I let him do that. With this, with that, with this, with that. I didn't, you know, jump off the cliff spiritually, emotionally, relationally with the Lord, with my family, or with anybody. But I definitely let the enemy come in and keep me from doing what positioned me to get the word in the first place. And guess who paid the price? I did, yeah. You know who else probably paid us some price? Sitting right there, and sitting right here. Everything the Lord had laid on my heart through those first 10 years of my walk with Him, where I did pray. I went through a season where I did pray. It was what I loved, longed to do, and wanted to do more than anything. I kid about it. I don't say it arrogantly, but you know, sitting right there, I've shared a lot of this before. But you know, we got some, you know, John Small and his family, the Blake House is here. You know, sometimes we need to go back and what does Jesus say in Revelation? Sometimes you need to stop. You're doing okay here. You need to work on this there. But you need to return to your first love. Now, we don't like to do that. That's old news. But there was a time, John, back, I remember before I got saved, I saw John a few times. I played some softball with John. I remember we went to, I don't know if you went to the national tournament, but I remember one time going to a national tournament in Myrtle Beach with Consolation Baptist. And 15 years later, I saw Consolation Baptist for the first time. Did you go to Myrtle Beach with I think we played in the tournament in Carrollton with them. First time I'd ever met John. And it was before I got saved. And you know, but you know, you go back and that's not that that's a fond memory, but it just reminds you that God could take a mixed up, turned upside down, selfish, prideful drunk who somebody took advantage of a over-trusting pastor and put me on the roster of a church I'd never been to. And I didn't go read my Bible between games, even though it was a church tournament back then. I just didn't. But God saw me. He saw July 9th, 2017, the day He began to prick my heart and begin to move, even back then, as screwed up as I was. That's how good God is. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And to anybody in here, maybe you've never experienced it. Maybe you've experienced it and walked away from it. I don't know where you are. I've done it all now. I've felt that breath of God on my life, and for whatever reason, closed the door on it for a season. Trying to reprime the pump as I speak, if we're just being honest. Amen? And I'm not going to sit here and make declarations that I'm going to climb the mountain and stick my flag up. I'm not doing that. I know me too well. Because I've heard the right song on some Sundays and made those declarations, and I never went back to the Word, and guess how long that lasted? My daughters would say probably not till dark. Do you know, Jeremy, and we may not get to Scripture, but I went through a season in this house very recently where, and I even had somebody ask me, why don't you go down front anymore during worship? And I said, my behavior and the harshness again of my heart, and maybe not what I said at home, but how I said things at home, because I had taken my eye off the Word. I would look down to my right 6 feet and see my daughters. And standing right there, after all that I've seen God do in my life, the goodness of God that I've seen, not that I've read about, but that I've seen, Shane, I would say, I can't go down. I'm going to worship you, God, because you're worthy. And I'm going to sing these songs with passion because I still fear God enough to play that game. He's still good. And He's still holy. And He's still all-powerful. And I've seen Him do so many things that I still have reverence and respect for Him. But I can't go down there and raise my hands and dance and jump because my daughters will say, look at that hypocrite. I was the brunt of his harshness the last 6 days, and look at him. That's the battle I fought many Sundays, Jeremy Crane, standing right here, worshiping God because I love Him and He's been good to me, but struggling so much in my walk that I couldn't just give Him all that I am. That we just sang. It was a battle. Amen. Is anybody else in here? Anybody? Anybody? Guess what? God, as a good Father, doesn't love any of us any less. When you bring that junk to the altar, guess what? You're the one that gets the perfect strength of Christ in that moment, not the guy in the back that's got everything going on, because the Word says that in our weakness, His strength is made comes in perfection. So don't let even your failures, huge mountain failures, keep you from coming before a God that loves you. So I don't know what you're dealing with this morning, what your River Jordan is. Amen. Maybe you think you've crossed River Jordan, but down the road there's a Jericho. I don't know what that is in your life. But I can promise you, God, this is the scripture where it says He promises Joshua, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We all quote it. Maybe you didn't even know where it was. It's in this scripture. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But for you to be prosperous, you've got to apply the word that I gave Moses. You've got to meditate on it day and night. And you've got to walk, as Sidney preached last Sunday, you've got to walk the land. Amen? Sid Garner can't walk. The promises to Brett House, it's not wherever the soul of Sid Garner touches, he'll give me. It's what am I willing to walk through and let God be God. Amen? Real quickly, you don't have to turn there. The last time I preached, which has been a while, again, that's an indictment on me, but the last time I spoke, because I'll be honest with you, I get in trouble sometimes for being so honest. But I told Sid a while back, I said, hey, you need to take me off the batting order. I don't need to stand up there with a mic in my hand right now. I just don't. And, Sid and I don't always see eye to eye, but that man believes the best in you. And that might make you mad sometimes when you want him to get somebody else, but when it's you that's getting the grace, it's good. Amen. Remember that. Amen? As a pastor, he sees the best in us. That's Christ-like. That's what Christ does. It's what Christ did in the garden. It's what Christ did on the cross. He looked through that hell and saw Robin. At that time, Robin House, and saw Brett House, and saw Jeffrey Thompson, and saw us all. And yet he endured it. Amen? But I spoke, the last time I spoke, it was Ezekiel 37, the dry bones. Remember that? It's been 6-8 weeks ago, probably, or longer. And it was a point that I remember. I got back, you ever get back and you look at your notes, I missed that point. I'll look at my notes more. But it was the dry bones scripture where Ezekiel, the Lord takes him in the spirit and shows him a valley of dry bones. Many of us know the story. And I'll just read. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. And I'm going to hit this real quickly. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of a valley. And it was full of bones. And that, picture that. Ezekiel's on a mountaintop looking at this valley. Because remember the backdrop of this whole thing is what Sid preached last week, that we've got to walk through some stuff. Even Jesus, remember that from last week? Even Jesus, He didn't sit up here and just do stuff. He came to He left heaven, and He walked this earth as a man filled with the Spirit. And He ministered, and He was hurt, and He walked through stuff. But how many of you know that scripture in Joshua was true for him? Everywhere the sole of his foot touched was his. He created it. But Jesus walked through stuff. He was a high priest that was tempted in every manner, just like us. You know that scripture we quote all the time, that we can boldly come before the throne of God to receive help in a time of need. Why? There's a therefore in that scripture. There's about two verses of scripture, and then there's a period, and it says, therefore, you can boldly come before the throne of God. What's the therefore mean? Read the two scripture, the verses before that. Because Jesus, our high priest, has walked and been tempted in every manner just as we are, yet without sin. Nobody in this room is facing something that Jesus hasn't overcome, that Jesus hasn't walked through. Doesn't mean it didn't cause him pain, but he walked through it without sin. Therefore, we can, not because you had a good week or because you finally feel the nudge of the Spirit. No, you can come before the throne of God with confidence because Jesus went through what you're dealing with and didn't fall into sin doing it. So when the devil comes and tells you all the reasons you can't come, it doesn't have anything to do with you. The therefore doesn't have anything to do with Brett House. I can come before the throne of grace with confidence in my God boldly to receive help in a time of need because Jesus was tempted to get apathetic in his walk and didn't. Because Jesus was tempted to, he didn't have any earthly kids, but God had some earthly kids and wanted to kill them. Anybody? He said it to Moses, I'll just kill them all and start over with you. And Moses said, no, Lord. But that's what gives us access. So bring the junk the next time and let God minister to you there. Amen? And But back to Ezekiel. So Ezekiel's up on this mountain looking at the Valley of Dry Bones. And remember, Sid's sermon was everywhere, everything that the sole of your foot touches, that God will give it to us. And he talked about how we've got to walk through stuff. We've got to walk through stuff. We've got to walk through stuff. We've got to get dirty sometimes and walking through stuff and paraphrasing Sid, and I'm going to kind of try to jump to the chase. I got a lot of notes I'm not even looking at. But the example that Jesus gave is he walked through things. So why would we think we're not ever going to have to walk through stuff? And Sid talked about how he used the example. It was incredible. I'd never really seen it in Scripture. That in one chapter in the book of Acts, I think it was, or in Paul, the Apostle Paul's life, he was beaten or stoned. He was stoned, and they thought he was dead. So they tie a rope around his ankle, and they drag him out of the city to the trash heap and throw him on the trash heap, thinking he's dead. Well, then he comes to life. He wasn't dead. Well, then later in his life, him and Silas are sharing the gospel, and a lot of us have read it. They get thrown in jail, in the Philippian jail, and at midnight they're praising God. An earthquake comes. And Sid's point in that scripture was, once you've walked through something, so we don't want to walk through anything. We want God just to give us the land. We want God just to speak and have the River Jordan part. And again, Sid touched on it last week. No, the river didn't part till somebody's foot touched it. The sole of the priest's foot touched it, then it parted. Again, how many River Jordans am I not seeing part because I'm not walking the land? But back to Ezekiel. Well, Pastor Sid was talking about how when you walk through things, it equips you, when you overcome things by walking through them with the help of the Lord, it equips you to the same, it makes you stronger. I know the example again, when Paul was stoned and drug out for dead, he ends up not being dead, obviously. Later, he's beaten with rods, put in prison, and yet he sings at midnight. And Pastor Sid said, because once you've walked through being stoned, just being whipped with a rod doesn't hold as much weight, basically. Hey, I've overcome this. I can deal with this. Anybody, does that make sense? I know I rambled around for 10 minutes, but that was one of the points Ted made. You walk through some things, and you learn from it, and the same level of attack might not carry as much weight the next time. Does that make sense? So that's true. I'm not denying that. That is true. That is true. But I just wanted to come in where the Lord had me doing an inventory in my life. How do I want to word this? Yes, we have to walk through things. We do. But we can't let religion, and we can't let the world define what victory is, what success is, what overcoming is. We can't. Because if we're not careful, the enemy will bait us into that. I always kid about it, you know, the spiritual Heisman pose. We've gone through that, and that's under me now, and a little bit of arrogance can creep in, and a little bit of self-reliance can creep in, and now I'm bulletproof and 10 feet tall, and guess what comes before a fall? Pride. So the Lord just prompted me to say, and He took me back to Ezekiel, because look what it says. He's standing there. The Lord shows Ezekiel a valley. It's full of bones. Verse 2, then the Lord caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. What are you talking about? Ezekiel's on this mountain, and he's not wading through like the slow motion highlight reel of Herschel Walker in the early 80s, just, you know, wading through the enemy. You know, that's how... I'm a simple-minded man. That's true. No, what God had Ezekiel do is He looked at the state of His nation, because this represented Israel, and it was full of dead bones. And God said, it's not enough for you to see it from up here. It's not enough for you to acknowledge it from up here. It's not enough, Brett House, for you to acknowledge that you've not been where you're supposed to be, that you've struggled with this, this, and this, and that you've left your first love. That's good. But that's the start. I want you to get down off this mountain and walk through these dry bones and do an honest inventory, even though this is death. The nation of Israel at this time was spiritually dead. And you may be in a situation in your life, it may be your finances, it may be relationships, whether it be with God, your spouse, your children, or your church family. It may be physical. Somebody may be in here with a valley of dry bones physically staring you in the face. I don't know. But walking through things is not always walking through, quote unquote, and winning the day and overcoming. Sometimes God says, it's ugly. It's going to hurt, but you need to quit avoiding it and get down and walk through this valley of dry bones. You were called to preach the Word of God and to pray and love people, and you hadn't done it consistently in a long time. It's enough. Acknowledge it. Repent of it. But now I want you to come down off that hill, Jeremy, and walk around and do an honest inventory. And it's painful. But guess what happens almost immediately? That sensitivity to the Lord that maybe you've walked away from, it's like it comes back almost immediately. So it's not, this walking through things is not always just winning and victory and what religion paints as overcoming. Sometimes it's walking through a valley that's ugly. How many of you ever been in a financial strait that's just bad and won't relent? Have you ever, I know you have, you ain't got to show your hand. Have you ever gone weeks and not got your checkbook out and looked at it? You just didn't want to see it. I have logged on, and I won't give you my user ID, but my password to bb&t.com is Hannah01. And I have... If I had a dime for every time I typed Hannah01 and then I didn't hit enter, and I just kind of and waited. I could fill this joker up. Because you know what human nature is? Human nature, a lot of human nature is two things when you've got a valley of dry bones in your life. You avoid it. You just avoid it. Or you mistakenly, with wrong motives, attack it. Let that sink in. It's what the Lord showed me in my life. Because that's a lot of the modern day church. Because our spiritually, the U.S. is a modern day valley of bones. And God's looking for a people that will acknowledge it, but that will come off of the hill and walk through this valley. As hard as it is, I read some of those writings of our founding fathers. I got a book called Red Sky in the Morning. Remember Bill Bright? He passed away several years ago. He wrote Red Sky in the Morning before he passed. And I'm patriotic and I love America, but when you read how our founding fathers wrote and some of the things and quotes in there, it's very grieving to look at our nation today. So what's the human nature? Avoid it or attack it. And if you're not careful and religion gets in there and the motivation is no longer empathy and compassion, you'll attack dry bones that need God. The Generation X or whatever they call it, what is it? We millennials. You know, you'll avoid them or attack them. Welcome to church. That's the church. But it's not Jesus. Your marriage falling apart, you'll avoid her or him, or you'll attack them. Something not right at church, you'll avoid it or attack it. And God asked me, what about the Matthew 5:5 approach? Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. And he had me re-look up the definition of meek, Nick. And if you look up the definition of meek, it says patience and enduring injury without resentment. That's Jesus. That's getting talked about, ripped about, posted about, and saying, you know what? I'm not going to attack it. I'm not going to address it and attack it. I'm not going to ignore it because I'm going to pray about it, but I'm going to endure this with patience. And I'm going to beg God not to let resentment come into my heart. And just let God fix it. I've done that a few times through the years, not often. But it's amazing when God comes to your rescue and you've let Him do it one time. There's no feeling like it. But I usually get the cart ahead of the horse and won't let Him do that. Amen? So I don't know what your valley of dry bones represents in your life. I don't know what it might be. It could be all of the above. Finances, relationships, physical. You know, when I Beth and I were talking, and I had it pulled up, and I'm still not, I've only had an iPhone since about March, so I'm still learning. And my daughters want to show me things, and I don't want to know. But I was driving, we were talking, Beth said, what are you preaching on? And I gave her the gist of it, probably more clear to her in the kitchen than here just now. But when I was talking to her about what, you know, I said, I firmly believe what Pastor said preached last week, and it's true. God wants us to walk and overcome and walk through things with His help. And when we've walked through those things, we're more equipped to overcome other things. And attacks that used to get us down no longer get us down. That's true, 100% true. But how many of you know, and what popped in my head, and Beth mentioned it, and I had it in the back of my mind. How many of you know the Mandisa? You know, she came out with a song a few years ago called Overcomer. And I didn't know this until Beth told me this morning. You know, it was an incredible song. And she had a friend, I think, pass away with cancer. And I didn't know this, but She went into a depression. Because, and if you, what's the new song she has out? It's a new song. It's on the radio all the time. Basically, it's saying that she painted a picture. She painted a world that sometimes it comes to fruition. Because, again, you hear that song, you're an overcomer. And you get the spiritual Herschel Walker running through the enemy, you know, cancer, depression, the third day video, MTV, Christian version, and everybody wants to. But she said, then her friend died. And she was like, how can I sing this song when this happened? Well, then she wrote this new song she has out. I wonder if I still have it. Is my phone sitting there? I don't know if I still have it open. I pulled up the lyrics to it. Yeah, wow. It's called, the new song she has out is called Unfinished. And it says, these are the lyrics. I'm not going to sing them. Not scared to say it. I used to be the one preaching it to you that you could overcome. And this is where the balance is. I still believe it. I still believe it, but it ain't easy. Because that world I painted where things just all work out. The land's just yours. You've been promoted in the spirit realm. Well, the world I painted where things just all work out, well, it started changing. And I started having doubts. And it got me so down. But I picked myself back up and I started telling myself, no, my God's not done. He's making me into a masterpiece. He's still working on me. I wish it just says, his work ain't through. I'm just unfinished. But basically, even Mandisa went through what I feel like the Lord was showing me today. Yes, what everything Pastor Sid preached about last Sunday is 100% true. You're an overcomer. You can walk through things, be stronger at the end of it. But then in my notes I wrote, but if my focus as I'm walking through something shifts from God to myself, to my walk, then guess what? It opens my heart up for pride, for arrogance, and instead of having empathy, because one of the things the Lord showed me on the other this past week is yes, when you go through a storm, you ought to have more empathy, you ought to have more compassion for those that are still going through a similar storm, or perhaps, quote unquote, from the world's perspective, lost. I ought to have more. Instead of being angry and frustrated at God, I go through the sickness of cancer that took my dad. Your mom was healed. Praise God. I hope she continues to have these encounters that she posts about. That's awesome. But my dad's in heaven now. Quote unquote, that wasn't what I was praying for. But I still can go through that, and I still can take ground from my soul touching things, but it's not from an earthly, carnal definition of overcoming. My dad didn't get healed, John. He died. But in Christ, I'm still an overcomer if I keep the proper perspective. And I can have empathy and sympathy and compassion and be more driven to pray for somebody else going through the same storm, even though, quote unquote, I didn't win that one. Does that make sense? So I don't want religion to define what victory is, what success is. No, I'm an overcomer in Christ. Jesus is still the great physician. His touch still heals. By the stripes on his back, we're still healed. Even though I lost my dad and Tammy lost her dad. I can still wade into with you when you're going through that same storm. if my focus is on God and not on the result of my storm. Because if our eyes get on the result of our storm, guess what happens? We can get resentful for somebody else that got what we prayed for. And guess what happens when that happens? You quit praying for other people going through the storm you just got through. And who wins then? The enemy. The enemy does. And welcome to Brett's life for a few years now. In and out, in and out. Again, I'm not making declarations of what I'm going to do over the next, but this is where the Lord challenged me. Because no matter where you're at today, no matter how dark it might seem, no matter how far you may have drifted, God's still a good God, and He still loves you, and He still desires to breathe on those dry bones. He still desires for you in your mixed up state to call forth His breath. Lord, I call forth Your breath to blow upon their marriage. The enemy's whispering, but yours is not the healthiest right now. So, I ought to have more sympathy and passion to pray for somebody because I see that man and I know what he's going to bed with because I have. You see, when our perspective is correct, we can become praying machines driven with compassion and a heart to see the enemy lose even though we might not have won. Amen? Does that make sense? And I know I'm rambling and I need to begin to start looking at my notes a little better, but if you want to turn to some scripture, what time is it? This scripture popped in my mind. Again, maybe this is just where I don't want you to let any outside influence define things for us. Ephesians 6 is the armor of God scripture. And I'm going to grab my other Bible. I like the NIV version. Only because this is the Bible, you know, sometimes trips down memory lane can kind of spark things for you to, I think we forget how good God is. Anybody else have a problem with that? I forget in the struggle of life things that I've seen that should, it's like, how do I forget? How do I forget the fasting season when God told me to fast for Haven? When she's sitting right there and she shouldn't have made it. How old are you now? She's 14 years old. She was born and she was 18 ounces. 24 weeks. Robin, she was born at 24 weeks. She wasn't supposed to make it. Well, I'm pulling out of Beth's driveway, her parents' driveway. They live about a mile from where I work in Noonan. A lot of y'all have heard it before. I'm backing out. And I heard it more clearly than I've heard anything in my life. No more coffee till Haven comes home. She was in the neonatal unit at the time. And I remember I stopped in Beth's parents' driveway. Because I didn't want to hear that. I'd rather him ask me not to eat than not to drink coffee. And number one, I had fasted before. But I had never in my life at that point fasted open-endedly. There was no end. It wasn't 30 days. It wasn't the month of May. It was no more coffee till Haven comes home. And that's all I heard. And I remember, Jeffrey, unlike maybe now, but no, I think sometimes I beat myself up too much because God's gotten on to me for that. But in that moment, I sat there and I said, well, you're going to have to help me. That was my response. You're going to have to help me do this. And how long was she in the... This was February. So 3.5 months later, Haven comes home. And get an IV hooked up. But another thing that I had happened to me one time when I was fasting, and again, I'm not going to get into political things. I don't want to do that. But the main thing in the 2000 election was the Supreme Court. And long story short, I felt like the Lord had me fasting from coffee again through that election. And y'all know the hanging Chad recount one. Remember that one. But I remember I had to be at work at 4:15 in the morning back then. And it was the morning after the election. And the Lord had said, no, you know, I want you to fast through this thing. Coffee. So I remember I got to work the morning after that election. You know, I went to bed and Florida was with Bush. I woke up at 4 and Florida was back in the undecided. But I went to work and I got to my cubicle and I fixed a big old cup of coffee because I hadn't had one in a while. And I took about 3 sips and it just didn't feel right. It wasn't going down like I pictured it for 30-something days. And I felt the Lord say, this is not over yet. So one of the hardest things in my I walked from my cubicle to the sink and poured that coffee. I'm not making this up. I'm being a little bit funny, but I've had seasons in my life. When I knew you back in 97, and that summer of 97, it's like a Don Henley song. We experienced some things. I saw God do some things. But how quickly we can forget when our eyes get off of Him. Amen. But see, even that, the enemy has used that so much in my life, Cindy, over the last year. But guess what? Who did Jesus say was the best who was born of women? Who was the top? John the Baptist. And even John the Baptist. For Jesus, who there's none greater born of women. Even circumstances got him jacked up one time. Amen. Are you really the Messiah or is there another? And he'd seen some stuff. He saw a dove come down and light on Jesus in the river. So if you're in here and the enemy has used things against you, it doesn't matter. Confess it, acknowledge it, leave the mountain, walk through the dry bones, and be honest with the Lord. I'll close with this. And the reason I chase some of those memories is this is the Bible. If you turn to the front of it, it's in Robin's handwriting. It says October 19th, 1997. She had gotten me this Bible to give to me that day. It was my second time ever walking through those doors, and it's the day I got saved. So my first Bible I ever had was the day I got saved, and I still keep it at work. It's an NIV study Bible. But I got given some Andy Stanley cassette tapes back in the day, and I had my Walkman, and I would walk, you know, unlike now. But Ephesians 6:10 is one of my first scripture memorization. I can quote it, and it was the NIV version. But I want to read this to solidify, and we've sang a song about standing. And again, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. The New King James calls them the wiles. So that you could stand. Put on the full armor of God. Why? To wade through the enemy, chopping him down? No. You put on the full armor of God to be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. How many of you have fallen for some schemes in your life? The same old ones, Melinda. Same old trap. Same old one. Another translation calls them, I think it does call them, it's the schemes, the wiles, what? Strategies. So that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. My struggle is not against Beth House, Sid Garner, President Trump. You fill in the blank. Our struggle is not against each other. Our struggle is against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's a spiritual battle. My battle is not Beth's insatiable desire to plan every second of every day. That's not my battle. My battle is against the spirit that won't strive to rule my home. You see the difference? But if I'm sword fighting with her over things, my battle is not against the leadership of this church's refusal to do this. It's the my battles against the spirit of division and strife that wants that to rule the day. Because the Bible says where strife is, every evil thing there is will follow. Oh. Amen. My battle is not against Hannah House and her 15-year-old whatever. Again, my battle is against the spirit of strife that wants to rule in a home. Amen? So he says, I've never put the full armor of God on. Well, you need to. It's not a suggestion. It's saying, hey, you need to put the full armor of God on because your battle's against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And that you can stand against the schemes and traps and delusions and of the enemy. Amen? And then it goes on to say, and I'll close with this, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, when the day of evil comes, another way to say that is when the trap that is worked time and time again, Blake House guys, you're going to need this scripture now and when you get out. So, put on the full armor of God. Remain sensitive to God. Don't leave the Word of God so that when the day of evil comes, when the temptation comes, when the trap comes, when the scheme's presented, the one that's worked all the time, the one that has worked in a preacher for 15 years' life, hundreds and hundreds of times, put on the full armor of God so that when the enemy comes, the day of evil comes, you may be able to tear down the enemy. No. You may be able to stand your ground. There are times, even in a Pentecostal's life, where God's will for this moment is not to take your sword out and go ripping the enemy into shreds. It's just to have the grace of God to deny yourself and stand. I've meandered for 40 minutes to get to that. That's where God told me I need to reconnect with Him at. There are times you need the grace, it's scripture we've all quoted before, to take up your cross, to deny yourself, and yield to me and just stand. There'll be a day you'll put your soul to the feet, to the ground. There'll be a time where you wade through things. There'll be a time where you claim ground for the kingdom. But right now in this moment, at least for me and perhaps you, if you would stand to your feet, please. There are times when the Spirit of God says, turn to me, get back to the Word of God, begin to pray again, worship again, but put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes and these things that have so easily beset you that we're supposed to put to the side, that you could have the grace to simply stand. To stand. Again, sometimes when you just stand and you're not taking things back from the enemy, you can be defined as not succeeding. But sometimes that's the will of God for a season. I pictured a spiritual, some of you may not even know what I'm talking about, but Rocky Balboa, remember the Rocky movies? He would get beat to within an inch of his life. And there was a moment in one of the movies, they blur together even for me, and I used to quote them. Apollo Creed has knocked him down. I mean, this guy, Rocky, looked like a piece of raw hamburger meat. And he climbed. Apollo thinks he's going to stay down this time. And he's walking over here, and he looks back, and Rocky's gets back up. You know, and he can't even lift his arm. You know, y'all seen the movie. And Apollo Creed's like, my goodness, man. What more can I do? And it reminded me, that's probably how the devil felt about the Apostle Paul. There were times in Apostle Paul's life where he took ground for the kingdom. But there were times he was stoned and drug out of a city dead. And what did he do? Did he get back up, run back into that town and preach the gospel and chop the enemy down? No, he stood in Christ and went to the next town. And what did they do? See, our version of it, they all get saved. No, they beat him and throw him in jail. So what does he do? He stands in Christ and goes to the next town. So my prayer is for us to have the grace to sometimes, when the enemy is beating you senseless, just to have the grace to say, God, I need your help just to stand right now. To stand in you. Because I know I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but right now I need the strength just to stand and keep my mouth shut. I need to stand and pray and see what you'll do. Amen? Does that make sense? Because it goes on to say, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. And after all you have done, to stand. My New King James said, after all is said and done, that you can stand. That's my prayer for us, Jeremy. That's my prayer for my children. I declare this in the mornings over them. Give them the grace just to stand today. To not yield to that temptation. To not yield to that scheme, that wile, that craftiness. One of it calls the craftiness of the enemy. And that's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for me. Amen? So I don't know again, and I know I've kind of rambled this morning, but I want you to know that maybe it's just for one person. I didn't know the Blake House was going to be here. I didn't know the Small family was going to be here. But is there a valley full of dry bones in your life? You can put on some worship music, Ambry, just something quiet and soft. Is there a valley of dry bones in your life? Is there a scheme of the enemy that has worked time and time again? Whatever it might be. You know it. I know somebody knows it. I know it. That this is just one area I can't get over. I'll give you this, but I can't get over this. I can't do what you've called me to do because of this. Is anybody? All God's asking you to do is to do like Ezekiel did. He had him walk around and do an honest assessment. To walk through the junk and give an honest inventory, to look in the mirror and confess whatever it is, and then just let God breathe on that. Amen? That's all God's asking this morning. That if there's a scheme or a trap or a temptation of the enemy, young people, is it lust? Businessman, is it money? You go through seasons where you're properly focused on God, but that thing just draws you back. Is it offense in here? Does anybody just stay offended? It's one thing after another. It's the same spirit. Different circumstances. Is it addiction? That's a big valley. A lot of dry bones in that one. We got people in here maybe struggling. We got people in here who have been set free. Come forward and let God breathe on it. Because we do serve a God that is greater than anything you face. I promise you that. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. But you got to do an honest inventory. You got to be open. But come let God breathe on whatever that is in your life. Amen. Father, we just come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your armor. Father, you tell us to put it on. Because there is a spiritual battle going on. If we don't feel like we're in it, by all means, our young people are. So, Lord God, just awaken us to the need, if nothing else, to be a covering as adults for our kids. Because there are definitely schemes of the enemy designed to bring them down. So, in the name of Jesus, by faith, we put on the full armor of God. We put your armor on right now, Father God. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. We pray that our feet be fitted with readiness, rooted in the gospel of peace. By above everything else, Father, we lift the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. All. Not most, not some, all. We put on the helmet of salvation and we lift the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But Lord God, that armor is not always to go take ground. Sometimes, Father God, it's to just stand. And I ask for the grace and the strength and the discernment to stand in Christ. That when the wind blows and blows and everything seems to be collapsing around this world and society we live in, that there could be a people that at the end of the day, that the world could see, they may not look like much, but they're standing. Standing firm in who they are in Christ. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Do you need to come? Do you need to just get honest with God, confess some bones, confess some schemes you fall into, confess some traps? That sin cycle we hear about, that's just the enemy bringing that same trap back to play. Soon as you get some momentum, he brings that same old scheme back, and boom, it seems to zap us right back where we were. Anybody? God will breathe on it, I believe, if you'll come forward.